Rogoncho with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
We're all ready for this weather. Ro got new gloves.
I did. Okay.
That.
All right.
Thank God. All afternoon, I was like, is Ro's right hand going to be warm? Because he lost the one glove yesterday, so I was worried about
it. Okay. All right.
Now, we all were, Ro.
I was Ro strong. I went last night immediately to Nordstrom, and I bought Nordstrom's. That's for Violetta's.
No, you were right. It was Nordstrom.
And I went there, and I went to the haberdashery department, whatever, wherever they sell, wherever gloves and muffs are sold.
The men's department, isn't it?
Yeah, all right. Okay, let's call
the
men's department.
You were right next to the bar.
Yes, I was right next to the bar. That's an interesting observation on
your
part.
How do you know, Violetta, what's in the men's department?
Well, I just go to the bar, and I happen to see a lot of men's stuff around
there. I was kind of surprised what kind of business they were doing at that bar last night
at 7
o'clock.
It's hustling and
bustling. Yeah.
Really? What exactly do you mean?
Do you know what? It was interesting. There was that, I think, become a little bit of a scene, as the, my mother would say.
Yeah, and the Niagara Triangle over there?
It's sort of, it's kind of, the Velvet Triangle is sort of what it is.
At
the Velcro
Nordstrom's?
Triangle.
There's no S.
Nordstrom's?
Give it a rest.
Like the jewels?
My ears are bleeding.
Don't get it on your hair. The funny thing is that there was, it was jammed, and there were like, and it looked like there was, you know, some hooking up.
No way.
Wait, yeah.
Don't the men at the bar like have bags that they just bought something from Nordstrom's?
I think that at the Nordstrom's bar, I think that there actually was, there were guys going there without the intent of purchasing.
There was
it's
some
in the men's
shopping
department.
Going on? Is that what you're saying?
So there is
no, he's saying they weren't.
Right,
right,
I know. Some shopping going on.
Yeah, that's what they were doing.
Different kind of shopping.
Yeah, that kind of shopping.
If you go into the bar, if you go into the men's department at Nordstrom's, it's up on the second floor, and you and in the middle of it is this very nice bar, like a four-sided bar. Right. So you can go around and
see everybody.
Right.
Who might also be at the bar.
And there's and now they've kind of roped off the area so that it's there's a real perimeter there. And there were people hanging out drinking. And it wasn't and I figured, well, maybe it's employees coming off work. No, it was like
you
people
have a
in there.
Hipster bartender there making Manhattans.
Yeah.
They have the brandy cherries. Pretty good. And then you can find a girl be like, hey, I need a help picking out a sweater.
Or gloves.
As it turns out, I went to the glove department, and which is right next to the bar. As it turns out, they did have a glove department, and I bought. This as I was telling Anna on the way in here today, this is a mistake. Do not buy if you're a guy. Mm-hmm. Do not go and buy gloves or scarves or hats or anything right before Christmas, because I'm paying $600 for like per glove. It's like it's the most expensive gloves I've ever seen in my life, and they're full price because that's what a lot of you know, like people get guys.
You don't know what to get someone, so you get them gloves.
You get them
or
gloves,
a scarf.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like the most ridiculous thing. So I went. I got the. I have a friend actually used to be the executive producer of this program. Who was swore by the fingerless gloves. You know, like the halvesy finger gloves.
Well, so those should have been cheaper, right?
You think.
Half the fabric.
Right? You think they were double. Well, they were cheaper than the other ones that I bought. But they were, but they're, you know, I thought, okay, I'm going to try this.
Okay.
You know, he swears by them, I'm going to try it.
Because you can still text and use your fingertips, but you're technically, you would think your hands are still warm.
Plus some of them are hybrids where you can fold it back over and it's like a mitten.
Yeah.
You're talking about, so you can still cover the end of your fingers.
There's like a flap that goes back over.
In theory,
like
right.
A mitten. Mm-hmm. Right.
This one is not one of those. But it's got the, it's got the finger, and you can pull it back so it goes, over the first knuckle or below the first knuckle, you know, towards your knuckle.
Were they warm? I guess is the question.
Your
they
second
don't...
knuckle? I don't know which would. How do you count your knuckles? You
count
from
your
the outside.
I would count it from
first
the
knuckle.
Tip down.
All right, so that's your first knuckle. So
second. He's talking
over your second, you can either be you know before or after your second knuckle. Anyway, the point is this. Which I believe is a legal standard of some sort in our business, but that's a separate issue.
Highly technical.
So there is a so I thought, all right, you know what? I'm going to wear these out. I'm going to wear these out. I'm going to like this and put the other gloves and the hats and all that. I'm wearing them out and I'm walking out, and all of a sudden I'm like, and Jocko, my you know our friend and former producer, Jocko had said to me, he's like, you know what? You never feel it because your hands are so warm, your fingertips are warm. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure.
Doesn't all seem right. like it makes sense.
Not
to me
in
yet.
This weather, buddy.
I want to tell you now. Uh-huh. You are right. You, my fingertips, like I think, are like frozen off. I'm like, and I walked across the street, and I'm like, what? That's a lie.
Take them back.
But I've already bought them.
Rose Strong.
And I decided I'm going to wear them today. I'll say it is easier, though. It's easier to drive. It's easier to pull out, you know, like your
credit cards,
your wallet,
and
your
like
credit
that.
Card, mm-hmm. to use your phone, all that sort of stuff.
But
so
then
are
it's
you
just
returning
kind of,
them?
It's a fashion statement.
And it's a bit of a fashion statement.
Yeah, because it doesn't
it's a
keep
little
you
bit,
warm.
But it's like, you know, Rocky Balboa in 1976. I mean, this has already been established.
Here's the problem with
or
them.
Any homeless person on Wacker Drive.
Yeah, that's true.
What's the temperature today, for instance? Like, what is
freezing.
It? Like
I'll tell you what the temperature is. Not glove temperature yet.
Well,
it's
but I'm just
temperate.
Saying.
It's cold.
I'm just saying you go down a few more degrees and you can't wear those
no.
gloves in Chicago.
No, no, no.
It's unbearable
it just doesn't
outside
work.
Today.
It
don't
is unbearable.
Call, don't even call them gloves. Call them
hipster hand decoration.
Hand, yeah, exactly. candy.
It's hand candy.
Oh, God.
I was wearing some Nordstrom's hand candy. All right. And we're going to get to Mr. Mark Cipolla, so standing by
yes.
the WGN-TV newsroom right now. But first, Violetta, why don't you get us caught up?
The set, the music, the movies. Watch the Family Classics Christmas Special featuring the classic Scrooge, hosted by Dean Richards, Friday at 7, WGN-TV.
here's Mark Cipolla joining us from the WGN-TV newsroom on Bradley Place in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Hi, guys.
On his second to last day, I guess, really. Because this would be, Wednesday. Then tomorrow would be your... Yeah, third to last day.
Third to last, right.
Yeah, third to last day. Today.
Yep.
Have you Friday reconsidered, Mark?
Yes. Would you like to come back?
I just I did the exit interview upstairs with the corporate, and I was actually asked that question. And I politely declined.
Did you flip any tables?
Nope. Nope.
Did you get up in their face?
Nope.
No.
No.
There's one thing I've always wanted to say.
Right. I quit. No, it went just delightfully fine.
Oh.
I've got no complaints, and I just said I just respectfully decline. I'm not going to change my decision, but thank you for asking. And not that they were going to let me change my mind.
I think they were. They haven't named your successor yet, have
not
they?
Yet,
so
no, not yet.
So I think they are more than willing to have you go. Hey, would you like to
another year?
Could
couple,
you do
three?
A little something?
No, they this is a well-oiled machine around here. They know what they're doing.
Uh huh. I anticipate that's true, and I find it a little curious that they haven't announced your replacement yet. Maybe are they going to do it on Friday? Do we know? They announced that they're going to announce or no?
No, they're probably
just going to be doing like we're going to
celebrate Mark first.
Let's get through the holidays.
It'll be my what do you call wedding funeral day Friday, and then after that they'll come up with their decisions and in due time. But I'm sure
don't you have to hand somebody an alarm clock on television or something? You know how they always do that,
right? Exactly. And I'm sure I'll be brought back for like a quick promo with the new person saying, hi, it's my
mm-hmm.
buddy.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway, we'll see.
So when do you go to Montana? When's the actual date?
Well, we'll go to Montana next week for the holidays.
Oh, okay.
And kids will come in from their various cities
because
they have some time off.
He's got a big freeze-dried food delivery coming in.
Well, shoot some milk.
You're going to be that guy?
Water and like water decontaminants. And you can also, by the way, now get a water decontaminant that keeps your frogs from being gay. Did you see that?
What?
Yeah.
See your what from being what?
Your frogs.
Your frogs from being gay?
One of the big conspiracy theories in America right now in the nutbag fringe is that...
Is that by Steve Bannon?
right down that line.
Yeah.
The government, the deep state, has put a chemical in the water that is neutering frogs.
Okay.
And it's turning boy frogs into girl frogs, and these nuts believe that it's been placed in the water supply to make people gay, to accept the gay political agenda.
Ah.
Oh,
how about
come
that?
On.
That's what do you
great.
Mean, oh, come on? I mean, why would you even say that?
Just I guess go, in this
oh
world you can't doubt
God.
Anything.
Yeah.
But is this coming from any place that we've heard of in the last?
Yeah, well, this Alex Jones guy.
Yeah.
From him. And he's got now, what's really good about it, he's got a product that he sells that will frog gay your water.
Interesting.
You. Yeah.
Interesting.
So I think you
so
should
we
buy
get
some
that
of
for
that.
Your going away present.
I thought
Mark.
Degay the water, make the water ungay. And you know what you should do, Mark, is you should sell it to your neighbors in Montana at double the price.
Like Avon, you could be the
you could be the,
the ungay your frog
pull
guy.
In with my pickup and knock on the door. Hi, we're here. By the way, I got something I want to sell you. I thought maybe my going away present would be that you know, because of Pizzagate, he would have been the pants would have been sued off him, and he'd no longer be in business doing anything.
No, he's back. He also has he sells that too. He's got a lotion that actually keeps lawyers from suing you.
Yeah,
he's got that as well.
What a moron.
Yeah. Anyway, that's where it is. That's
how about that?
That's where we are in our little fair little business right now.
Not that you're going to have to worry about any of that, Mark, for much longer.
If there is a positive, and there are many positives for doing what I'm doing, it'll be that I can watch from a distance, just shake my head.
Oh, God.
And go, whoa.
Yeah.
Seriously.
All right. So what is I have so many thoughts in my head, so many things I would like to say, but I am going to save both of our careers right now. And I want you to have a nice transition into what you've, because you deserve what you have done here.
Mm-hmm.
So this is your opportunity, and it's you really are. And for a lot of people who've worked really hard in their life, and they, you know, they dream of the moment that they can retire. You are an inspiration to a lot of people who've done that, done the right thing, worked mm-hmm. hard, worked responsibly in your environment, which is a really important thing.
Well, thank you.
You know, you
well loved, well respected, and going to be missed in a big way. Well, a huge void.
You know, and I don't want to be cliche, but thank you to your loyal listeners and to our loyal viewers. You know, as we all know, we cannot do this, or we can't sustain this without viewers and listeners, and I thank them for allowing me, even if they disagreed with me or they thought I was an idiot one day or all days or whatever. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, because the pleasure has been mine, and I'm really serious about that. I mean, you know, certainly had this planned, thought about it, you know, worked toward it, all those sorts of things, but it's been a wonderful, wonderful ride, and you can't do it without the people that listen and watch, so thank you.
That's mm-hmm. totally true. That's Mark Sapelsa right there.
Yeah.
One of the few true legend plus gentlemen in our business. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of legends in our business. There's not a lot of gentlemen.
They don't often come together as a combo.
Have we learned that? We're like,
we've
what?
Learned that, and we've learned that on multiple stages recently, haven't we? Well,
Garrison effing Keeler?
I'll take gentlemen, but that, you know, the legend stuff is that's certainly hyperbole.
Listen, you have been successful at doing your job on three unrelated television stations in this town, and that's mm-hmm. very hard to do.
Well,
it's hard to be the principal anchor three places and be very successful in all three.
Well, thank you. Each time I left good friends. I left mm-hmm. for obviously, you know, personal reasons, or you know, working on a better. Oh, I got a better offer here, a better mm-hmm. contract here, a better situation. But each time, I, you know, we'll have a little gathering this weekend just to make a toast. I'll have coffee or Diet Coke in my hand, but we'll make a toast with you folks and some good friends and family and those colleagues at the other TV stations too that just do great work as well. And I've missed them over the years, but this will be a nice time to round it all up and put a bow on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. And then the door will slam shut. And then on Monday, they tape over a name over your office.
Right.
You know, Ben's already moved into his office. Ben's
he's
already out of the
it.
Office.
He's totally he's, scouting it.
He's right, right next door. And I've seen that on his side of the wall, he's like written in like construction chalk. And I'm wondering if he's written.
He's going to double wide his office.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. He's going to knock the wall
down. And in the meantime, Timon Bradley has already staked some of that space in there.
Mm-hmm. We call it Bradley versus Bradley on Bradley Place.
Yeah.
Right.
And then what is the Bradley Brothers? I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about that.
You know what? I should go talk to your bosses about being the marketing director for an hour over there. I got some ideas.
Think of the things you could do.
5 o'clock, the Bradley Brothers on
and
Bradley Place.
Potash is over there actually pacing off your office to see how many square feet it is exactly.
Well, he owns half this building, so I don't think he has to worry about anything. You know,
All right.
He's the king.
Okay. I just want to make sure that whoever gets the office has got a smaller office than his. And if Bradley tries, if either Bradley tries to actually double wide their office, he's going to be the guy that stops him. That's how I see this happening.
I think you're right. Conrad right behind like a fullback.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
But Conrad totally wants to play it like he's too cool for it. Like, I'm not really interested.
I don't need it.
But then he's going home and complaining about it. You know how many square feet Sapelsa had in his office?
He has his measuring tape out one day.
Who's making the money for this place around here? It's me!
Well, you know Paul.
Yeah, I've already made that. I've actually made that speech places that I'm no longer at.
He borrowed
That's
it from
true.
You.
Yes, That's
exactly.
Right.
And that didn't work. That didn't really work out well, did it? All right, we will see you tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah.
Watch Mr. Sapelsa on the 5, the 6, the 9, and the 10 tonight.
Thank you very much. And Ben's off, so I'll be doing the 4 with Lourdes Duarte today. Ben will be back tomorrow.
All right. Very good.
All right, okay, Mark. We'll
Thank
talk
you.
Tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right. There he goes. Mark Sapelsa. Right now, Judy Pilak, standing by, WGN News. Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. A lot happening in Washington today. Oh, my God.
Oh, my word. Kind of usually, lately, though, we've seen a lot of this.
Yeah, really?
Lightning speed.
It's like for
constant.
The last year.
Yes.
For the last year. The last year seems like 10 years in terms of.
It does.
You know what? Whether you love or you hate the president, you got to give him credit. He's getting he does things. He says things, he does things, he takes positions on things, and today he did something that American presidents have been dodging since the year 1995, which is announcing that they're going to move the official U.S. embassy to Israel to Jerusalem. It has been in Tel Aviv, which is, you know, like about a 30-minute drive away, but it is still a separate thing, and Jerusalem is a significant issue because it is the seat of the three major world religions mm-hmm. right now in terms of Judeo-Christian religions in Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, right?
It's contested land.
And the Palestinian Authority has made the argument that they would like it, Jerusalem, to be there because that city has been contested through two wars mm-hmm. And between Islamic forces and Jewish forces in the State of Israel. In 1949, and then again in 1968, and so this is a fascinating moment here in human history. What is the reaction, Lanizak, on in the White House to what? How's the White House reacting to the reaction on Capitol Hill? Is I guess the better way of asking that question.
Well, the reaction on Capitol Hill has been mostly muted. I think that in a lot of ways, we're paying more attention to the Franken news and tax reform right now. But the international reaction has been huge. And the White House feels very confident of their decision. It was something that President Trump had campaigned on, as you rightly mentioned, presidents before him, going all the way back to President Trump, and had campaigned on the issue of moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. And since from Clinton's time to now, every president, though, has signed that six-month waiver that's required of the Jerusalem Embassy Act to delay the move. And all of them have felt like it wasn't politically possible at that time to move the embassy because the Middle Eastern peace process was still so delicate, so fraught with tension, and every president wants to be the president who brings about peace in the Middle East.
It's true, and you wonder what this means for peace in the Middle East. You heard Rex Tillerson today say we continue to believe there is a good chance and good a lot of hope for peace in the future, but you got to look at this as a setback when you hear what the Palestinian president, Mahmoud Abbas, and so many others are saying around the world, saying that this is this could be a dramatic setback, and it is sparking, you know, potentially violence in because of this decision by the U.S. Certainly not being met by in a positive way by all.
I will say this, though.
That's right.
Elliot Richardson was on CNN today, who was a Clinton diplomatic type and Clinton administration diplomatic type. Mm-hmm. And he was like, so what if Abbas says that? So, I mean, they haven't done anything since 1995, 22 years later. No real change has occurred here. Mm-hmm. And if you want to negotiate a settlement here to make East Jerusalem, because the president didn't necessarily preclude Jerusalem from being split up, which it is already right now between West Jerusalem and East Jerusalem and the Israelis on the west and the Palestinian Authority on the east. It's the possibility that still could be negotiated. The president, by doing this, though, is forcing, for what appears to be domestic political points, he's forcing the hand of not just the Palestinians, but the Egyptians, the Saudis,
right.
The Lebanese, the people who are, you know, some people that we need to either create peace or to help us stem ISIS.
Yeah, and Ro, I think that's an interesting point. I had also heard his interview as well. And it does sort of go to what we have seen President Trump, his philosophy be since he's been in office this past year, which is it hasn't worked in the past. I'm going to try something new. We saw that with North Korea. We see that now with the Middle East. But the question then becomes whether or not the United States can continue to play the role of peacemaker in the Middle East. We heard from President Abbas saying that this was a declaration of withdrawal from the role the United States has played in the peace process. If half of the team feels like the United States has declared its allegiance to the other side, the United States can no longer play that role of peacemaker. And then there's also the potential, which you allude to, which is that it could strengthen extremists, that it could bring about violence. So it is possible that the president's actions, they certainly are a departure from everything that every other president has done. Perhaps the president and Prime Minister Netanyahu will be proven right with time that this, in fact, did shake things up and allowed a peace process to move forward where it hadn't previously. But as of right now, the international community certainly doesn't see it that way.
Okay, two other things as you're at the White House today, Lana. Mm-hmm. The Al Franken announcement tomorrow, it does look like he's going to be resigning from the Senate,
after a number of Democrats came forward today to say that he should resign.
And some other women have also...
If you use the Conyers language, it's retiring. If you use what every Democratic senator is calling for right now, it's resigning.
Does he have a family member he needs to appoint?
Yeah. See, Lana, you're not from... I don't know where you're from, but...
Franken is up next.
But in Chicago, I mean, when I saw John Conyers do that, where he's like, I'm getting out now, but I'm not getting out because I did something bad. It's because of my health, and my son is going to replace me. That is such a Chicago move. That's what
so
we do
Chicago.
Here.
You know, We've seen it over and over again. That's what we do here. No one likes it.
You guys invented it. Everybody else is just misappropriating it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, trying to refine it. But, you know, sometimes the original is the best. So I will ask you this, though. Obviously, they look at this as a win at the White House. And, you know, there is a possibility Minnesota, I don't know how likely, but still a possibility that seat in a special election could go Republican.
It's possible. It's a purple area. It has been blue, but what will happen if he does resign tomorrow is that the governor, who's a Democrat, would appoint an interim senator to fill that vacancy for the meantime. So one can presume that it would remain a Democratic seat at least until the special election, and that would take place then in November. So anything could be possible. We haven't heard a lot of reaction from the White House for the most part. They've sort of stayed out of talking about a lot of these sexual misconduct allegations, in part because the president's own position on Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore has been, let's just let the voters decide. It's not up to us to weigh in. So that might be the reason why we're not hearing too much about the Franken stuff from the White House.
And that's going great, by the way. I don't know if you've followed that, but that's going great. Very quickly, I want to ask you about this other story. The New York Times is reporting that there's a whistleblower who was a business associate of Michael Flynn's and was told by Michael Flynn directly that they were going to rip up the sanctions because this business partner was working on a Russian American deal, and they were going to rip up the sanctions against Russia after they took office. This is right at either the day of or day before the inauguration, depending on the reporting that you're paying attention to here. So is the White House responding to that?
The White House right now says that they have nothing to fear about Flynn cooperating with authorities. Basically, when it comes to talk about Michael Flynn, what we've heard from White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders has been basically that she hasn't talked to the president, so she can't comment on any of those details. That's pretty consistently been the story. The New York Times continues to report that out. As far as ABC News goes, we don't have their same source, so we can't match that reporting, but we do know that Senator Flynn is now cooperating with the special prosecutor's office, and he has signaled his intention to share what he knows. So we'll be waiting to hear what exactly that means. And as far as originals go, Chicago, you got it, especially when it comes to pizza.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, sort of.
That one out there.
Yeah.
It's true. You have to call it what it is.
Lana Zak, ABC
you
News.
You know, I have to speak the truth, bro.
Thank you. Thanks, Lana. ABC News correspondent at the White House. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Lana. All right.
Truth speaker.
Let's talk about, let's just talk about that Roy Moore thing with that Steve Bannon speech last night.
Oh, yeah.
Going after Mitt Romney. I think that Steve Bannon's upset because Mitt Romney's got better hair. I mean, Bannon's got pretty good hair for his age.
But Steve Bannon himself served, though, didn't he? Isn't that what he's sort of opening up?
Yes.
But he's acknowledging that he served and that Roy Moore is more brave than you are because you were a missionary and you got out of service and all your family members, several of your family members did. But he didn't mention the president also did. Right? I mean, that was sort of left out and kind of hanging out
there. Sort of an obvious connection one could make.
Sure.
Here. But Roy Moore was a military police officer in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
So I just one of my favorite stories about Roy Moore, and for Vietnam vets who are listening right now, I'm just going to state what the story reporting is, and let Vietnam vets decide how they want to take this.
Sure.
But as a military policeman, and he was in some cases, you know, military police. I don't want to take anything away from military police, because they, especially in Da Nang, he was not in Da Nang during the Tet Offensive, but if you know, there were bases that were overrun, and military police do maintain perimeters at bases,
mm-hmm.
and so that it can be a very harrowing job. But they're not expeditionary. They're not out, you know, doing. They're not out, you know, fighting the fight in the jungle necessarily. At least in the Vietnam experience. But here's the one thing, is that Roy Moore was a lieutenant, and I think he rose all the way to captain while he was in the military. He went through the two lieutenant ranks and into captain.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, if I am not mistaken. The reporting indicates that he used to require that he be saluted by his men in the field. Now,
that
is not considered a safe practice.
Yeah.
In the field,
mm-hmm.
but it was a requirement of his. This guy's got some sort of, he's just somewhat slightly broken. Maybe he's fixed now. Maybe God fixed him. I don't know. According to him, God fixed him. God taught him a lot of things, and it's all better now.
But I think he needs to face up to what has happened already. And what had happened was there are a number of women who seem very credible have come forward,
yeah.
And it just,
okay.
Well, it's out there.
The people, let me just quote the White House. The people of Alabama will decide. And when they do, Roy Moore will be senator, and it will be the one vote they need. Not the dirty liberal across the aisle. No! Oh, my God. This is what we turned into in this country. Come on now. Come on! All right, Violetta, come on! Rokan Show with Anna DeVlatsis right here on 720 WGN. Look! Who the cat just dragged into the studio. Actually,
Tom Skilling.
Happy Monday, guys. How are you?
Oh, we couldn't be better, Tom.
Pretty good.
Good.
Overall.
Just lie to him and tell him we're great.
Great. Absolutely great. Ro got new gloves, so he's
right.
Ready for
how
the wedding.
How about that?
Except there are no fingers in the gloves.
Okay, let me ask you. Well, it's three-quarter fingers.
Well, it looked like more like one quarter finger.
Oh, those are the ones that fold over, kind of.
Yeah, but they're
finger.
Not folding over. They're kind of crimped at the top of the finger.
Ah.
So, but I've realized. Hold on. You know what? Hold on. Yeah. Cover me, Anna. I'm gonna go get.
Maybe.
It.
Well, you went to Nordstrom's today to
just
get
the Nordstrom.
It.
One of them, I think.
And,
wow.
Or yesterday to get them,
uh-huh.
And he did a little shopping, and because he would lost his right glove. I don't know if you know the backstory. The
no.
Right glove was missing, Tom, so he needed new gloves.
Very important hand. You know. That hand can't be cold, Tom.
So
it does all the work.
Of course not.
It was
I
a think
crisis,
they didn't
Tom.
Give you the full glove. There has to be a flip over section that you're missing.
No, there is
no.
No, flip-over.
These ones
I'm
don't have
it right
that.
Now. I'm wearing it right
I
now.
I see. You look like a bank robber. Actually.
Let me ask you. What is the rationale? What's the rationale
right.
behind these
flip-over
gloves?
They look cute.
I was told, first of all, that it all started when Sylvester Stallone wore them in Rocky.
Oh,
but there's you know, you see guys who have to work with their fingers. Mm-hmm. Like you go, like, the
like
guys.
All the cameramen have them. You've seen it with the camera guys.
Yes.
Because they, when
well, that's
hands
a good
cold.
Point. I can see it. So, in other words, you have a little more mobility and flexibility
you
with your fingers.
You can feel your fingers, and now you know in the digital age, you have mm-hmm. to be able to use your those gloves that give yeah. you the tactile ability to use your iPhone.
Right.
Those don't work because they hit every, especially if
button.
You've got a, they hit yeah. every button simultaneously.
Yeah.
Yeah. The itty bitty
but
buttons.
What's the point of a glove that doesn't cover your hand?
Okay, now here's the point. Now, wait a second. Before you people get all judging with me.
I think that's too
right,
late
so
for
now,
that.
So now, I just want to point this out that it's, all right, so now I have it over the second knuckle. Mm-hmm. So it's below the second knuckle toward my main hand knuckle.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All right. Everybody, we got the visual on that?
Second
sort of.
From the tip.
And then I
do.
Realize how small my hands are when I look at it like this. Now the other thing I've got to do is pull it forward to give myself a little extra, and I can get it really to the first knuckle on all my
this
fingers.
Sounds
and,
like a Matt Lauer conversation.
It and so this is right. It depends on how you use it. Anyway, so the point is that I'm almost like covered here,
mm-hmm.
but I got to tell you, here's the problem. I walked out last night at the store, and I'm like, I'm going to wear these out.
Okay. And what happened?
And I felt like my fingers were going to fall off. Like my fingertips.
Had you ever owned a pair of gloves like that? Because I have a pair like that, too, and I don't really like them.
Mm-hmm. I don't like them either.
The guy was hard selling me on them.
Because he thought, because the style of them, is that what he was selling you? Or what? Why otherwise would you buy the fingerless gloves? Just
because, I wanted to. I bought all
ability.
The gloves. I bought a bunch of other gloves too.
Don't your fingers also kind of feel like sausages? They like.
Yeah, they do. They look like sausages.
Well, like the circulation gets cut off a little
right,
bit.
Right in the weird
right.
area.
I think the interesting piece of this, though, is I have been able to use my phone and reach in my pocket and get stuff out.
Well, see, there is the positive on those things. Yeah, because you can dial a phone, and you can't do that with gloves on. That's,
yeah, but all the new gloves have technology.
Doesn't really work, though.
It's a little tough, but it's doable. Like, if you're just
doable.
A quick
this
text.
Is much better doable
and,
without the fingers.
The main
fingers
purpose
are gonna be cold.
Of it, yeah, the main purpose is for warmth for your fingers. You have to make a phone call when it's freezing
yeah,
out. You got to get across the street,
Those are only going to work between 36 degrees and 45 degrees.
I say we go back to
it.
Nordstrom's as a team and decide which gloves suit
I'm not
you.
Going
I think
to
this
all
is
the
a
Nordstrom's.
Great idea.
And we all vote. And
put
then Tom
to
decides.
Yeah.
Tom gets to decide which ones are right
I like that idea. You know, and I find they don't completely cut. Cold air leaks in.
Now, I will tell you this about these are crimped around the fingers, so it does not allow for
cold air to come in.
For leakage. There's
love
no
it.
Leakage.
Love
well,
good
that's
crimped.
Good then.
Yeah.
Do you think anyone else has walked in there with a group of five people to pick out one pair of gloves for someone?
No, but
I know.
But you know what?
Kind of
this
a
is the Rokan show with Anna DeVlantis.
Right.
Yeah.
All kinds of things can happen on this show that wouldn't
Absolutely.
Happen in real life.
And there's
Absolutely.
A bar, as you noted, Ro, so yes. we're guaranteed to have a good time.
It's a reason to be there.
And yeah. Violetta has your credit card, where it's going to be a great outing.
Yes.
That's so true.
Seriously, can't you picture the whole group of us walking in to buy a pair of gloves?
They'll have no
just
idea.
Just for me.
Know.
Just yeah, for Ro.
Right, just for me.
The rest of us are freezing our hands or warming them up by the fake fireplace.
Everybody be looking at us in that store saying, what See, in the world
now,
is with this bunch?
I want to say
right.
I want to say that I would be able to, as a matter of fact, now as a pure protest,
uh-huh.
I think, because I don't like all of your attitudes, I believe I'm going to wear these gloves for the remainder of the show and prove that there is a utility to this because I can do all the things that I want to do.
Don't take it. We're not criticizing
you. Yeah,
you know, I was sold one of these, and I don't think I fully recognized what I was getting until
they lie to you and they tell you that that part of your hand doesn't get cold because
right.
the rest of your
that part
hand
gets
is
the
so warm.
Coldest.
Yeah, because it's the boniest.
True. That's true. Well, that,
the tips of your fingers are the things that start freezing first.
Least amount of circulation, seen it 100 times.
As it turns out, that's true.
And so you'll get frostbite just on
your
tips.
Your fingertips had a good run.
So when they turn
they had
blue,
a good run?
Oh,
as in so what, they're going to drop off? Or
it's
something
soon. Time. You know better than anyone. It gets cold. Gets
well,
cold
it
over
does,
here.
Kevin. It does. And it does impede
up.
The circulation.
These are not Alaska approved, I can tell you that. Although, now, that was the other thing. And so I was mm-hmm. going through the glove selection,
mm-hmm.
and I almost fell for another trick
another
in the glove world.
Yeah.
Which is now they've got these gloves that are, they've got this new thermal something or another.
Mm-hmm.
It's a space age polymer that they have on them that is supposed to keep, even though they feel like they're cloth, it's supposed to keep them from being wet
oh.
and from, and like, you know, good to like 600 degrees below zero or something like that. I mean, they've got some sort of, in space you could wear them.
Right, the astronauts wear them, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. and they were, like, super thin and super, I mean, for what they were relatively thin.
Were they rubbery? Or did
they felt like they had, like, just 2-inch scotch guard on them is what they kind of felt like. But and then the guy was selling me on that. Well, if you're ever, if you're going to go mountain climbing, I'm like, look at me. Do I look like I'm going mountain climbing?
Right, no. Or if you're going to do a mission to Mars or moon. Yeah.
Were the fingertips cut off those or no?
No, these had the full fingers. But then I thought, I have gloves that I like that are big and, thick. And
sure.
For when it snows and you got to scrape the off.
The ultimate with, the rubber palm finger part and then the other part. That I mean, they're super, super, super warm.
I have
so
those too.
They come up to sort of almost mid, mid forearm.
So they go underneath so your coat.
I'm covered on that.
I bought a pair once that actually had a scraper, an ice scraper on them.
Yeah, those are great. I think that's an As Seen on TV product.
Wait till you scratch your nose with that, though. What's going
to
happen?
But you're only supposed to wear them when you're cleaning off your car, I think.
Those are those, little pieces of plastic that have rough surfaces. Is that what that's for?
No, it has a real scraper on the top, like on the...
It's like a mitten attached to a scraper.
Yeah, and you're supposed to use it backwards. You flip your hand.
I got to get into the glove department. I have all this technology.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot going on.
I know.
So I got took.
I realize.
The bottom line is I got talked in to the gloves without the fingers.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for a moment it was an interesting sensation because my hands were I was wearing them out of the mall.
Yeah.
And so by the time I hit outside my hands were already kind of warm and then they were warm and cold simultaneously and that was kind of fun for about maybe 50 feet. Okay, and then it was like, I don't know, it's too
cold. Honest, though, when you came outside without the fingers covered, didn't it get a little cold on
That's the point.
The fingertips?
It got cold, and it was a not unpleasant sensation for the first, 50 feet of walking. And then after that, I'm like, oh, my God, I got to put my hands in my pocket.
You should go back and just act totally crazy old guy like, hey, I didn't get the whole glove here. I'm not paying for this.
Hey, that's a thought. Yeah, that would go over well.
Half of my gloves missing. Why do you want me to wear these?
Remember, Ro, if you're cold now, we're not exactly in an Arctic outbreak here.
Great point.
This is kind of early
season
stuff.
I have other gloves, Tom.
That's good.
This was a fashion choice. Although I just noticed it. Hold on. Do I have these?
It was a fashion choice. You like the appearance of these?
The look of them.
You look like a little cat.
Oh, okay. Well, to each his own. Everybody has their own
Tom, you're too nice.
Yeah. Well.
Tom has them.
Tom and I
should wear them to the Sepelsa party together on Saturday night.
I know.
Would you wear I'll wear mine if you wear yours.
Hey, I will. I'll bring those along because I got those things and boy was I. You know what I did? I bought them through L.L. Bean on a catalog. I didn't go to a store. So I didn't know exactly what I was getting. Mm-hmm. And these things came in the mail, and I thought, what in the world is this? Where did it say that the top folds down and my fingers are exposed?
So you have the flap, the part that goes
he
over.
He doesn't even have that, Tom. He's going out there, raw dogging this. It's dangerous.
Yeah, I know.
For lack of better
expression. Well, when he's bareback. Out there with the sled dogs.
I'm going bareback with my own gloves. What the hell am I doing?
Getting to work. we did a shoot up in interior Alaska in the middle of the winter. It was so barbarically cold. I mean, it was outside of Fairbanks or actually Denali Park.
Yeah.
So we were out there with the sled dogs and all the rest. I mean, I don't care. At that point, you don't care what the fashion statement you're making is. You just want to be warm. And
I bet.
These gloves were not warm. You know how you get those little things you crush, those chemical things that warm up when you crush
them? Yes, I love
those.
Those
work.
Those
they
work
do.
For like a Bears game,
it's especially
the only
when
you're thing sitting.
That saved it. Yeah,
or
exactly.
If you don't have tops of your gloves.
Yeah.
You should put some of those in there, Ralph.
You should sell some mini ones for each finger.
I'm going to get a little.
Warm them up.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go sell, finger gloves that are just their addendums to these.
See,
maybe in different colors,
and little toppers.
Right, little toppers because now the glove has to come in, each hand has to have six parts.
Look, if you're looking for the ultimate fashion statement, there's something that none of us have ever seen. That would be fun to see. You could start something with this, Finger wraps.
Well, it looks, they look like the gloves, they look like your hands have been wrapped for boxing gloves.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's got that
right.
Kind of. Now, I also want to point out, when you go to the United Center, you go to the parking lot, all those people have the fingerless gloves. If you have to work money or vendors have it,
there's
you have
no
to
question.
Work,
That's right. And if you've got to use your phone, or if you're trying to turn dials on equipment and
you can't do it in those.
No, if you're a radio DJ.
Yeah.
True. That's right. But, Ro, it sounded to me like you were just walking out of Nordstrom's and you wanted to be warm. You know, you weren't going
to... If you have to do a monkey sound effect, you know, you can't. I couldn't do this with a glove.
I see.
Because if I did that, I'd hit the thing next to it, which is this.
The top five at five.
That'd be wrong.
Yeah, but you're inside. You don't need gloves,
no.
Ro. That's the other
point.
And
do you carry that contraption with you when you go clothes shopping?
I do, actually. I carry it with me at all times.
Is that right?
Right. Whenever I leave anywhere, I just do this.
Instead of saying bye?
Right.
Get like tucked under a trench coat.
Yeah.
Can't you see that?
Yeah,
Ro walking into a Nordstrom.
Whenever like the guy's trying to sell me something.
Guy strikes out at the bar.
Yeah. I'm like, too bad for you, sir.
Try again. I don't rock climb.
I'm sure people love that.
Yeah. Well, what about when you're going outside to text?
And you know, I've got some very dear friends like Oprah.
Ro Khan, who's that?
Oprah, should I buy these gloves?
You know something, Ro, though? I've got to hand it to you.
No, she thinks you're crazy.
You certainly use your time expeditiously. You waited right until the early season outbreak of colder was right upon us.
It was like buying an umbrella in a hurricane.
Right,
it was
exactly.
like the dumbest thing
That's
I have ever
I
done.
See, I do things like that. I didn't think you did. I thought you worked ahead and had
your
life laid out
very
nicely.
I did, Tom, until I lost my glove. And then I lost my glove yesterday.
Well, that is a devil.
And that was the thing. It was like, I lost it and I realized I lost it within a minute and it was gone.
Someone has one
very nice leather right glove right now, and they're waiting for the other one. And I may just throw it at the Nordstrom's building because that's where I lost it. Now the deal here though is that I had other gloves, but then when I was glove shopping, I'm like, you know, I should probably update because you got to have the black and the brown, and I want to have the lighter weight stuff, and then I've got the heavier weight stuff that you only bring that out in the middle of the
and then you needed
January.
The hipster look without the fingers,
right? And I thought, well, this will be it's a fashion choice and it's something. And it's utility and Jocko liked it, so that must be good.
Tom, I want you to check in when it's below 20 next time and just say, hey, how are the gloves working out?
Yeah.
Like anytime your next forecast sort of even has a wind chill below 20.
Yeah. Hey. We'll ask him in the emergency room of a local hospital when he's being
when they're actually removing a fingertip.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, we're gonna have to take this down to the second knuckle.
Right.
And then I'll be going, now which knuckle is that?
Right.
Is that from the hand or from the fingertip?
That's the finger I use both knuckles on too, so darn it.
That's a lot of buttons with those.
Yeah.
The doctor's like second turns out that the second knuckle is always the second knuckle.
Yeah. Then they could just cart you up to the room and look inside your head, after that and say, what kind of guy would buy something?
I could be like Rahm Emanuel and not be able to flip people off.
Classic Arby's.
Right. Oh, you know what? I should send Rahm a pair of these gloves.
You know, I saw Rahm yesterday. I emceed this climate luncheon.
Right. With the president.
The president wasn't there at ours. But I met the mayor of Mexico City and the mayor of Paris.
The former president, by the way, because I don't see the current president showing up at a climate change summit.
No.
That's a separate issue.
No, that's true.
But former President Obama.
The mayor was there. And I heard somebody say, Tom, and I looked around, and there was Mayor Emanuel. It was...
Did he flip you off?
What's that?
Did he flip you off, Tom?
No.
He was very nice.
Now, that happened up on Peterson Avenue, right? The Arby's that used to be up there?
Yes.
Poor
there was one there.
Gee, that is...
I love the beef and cheddar.
Meat slicer.
Nothing's going to be
in a meat slicer
fries.
Incident, and the next thing you know.
Yeah.
It was an infection. He was very, he was hospitalized over it. It's a perilous story.
That's serious. Traumatic. It really is.
The Arby's sauce is pretty good, too. Just put a little bit on for each
boy. Boy, I'll tell you, Kevin, whenever food comes
I know,
out,
that's what he wants
Kevin
to talk
going.
About.
I know.
I'm discussing my second knuckle, and the next thing you know, I was like,
we've got important discussions about gloves here.
How about some horsey sauce on it? You know, it's just,
All right. Is it going to get warmer?
No.
Okay. I'm going to have to get the real gloves there.
Yeah, it'll be chilly tomorrow. It get a little warmer Sunday, but then we have wind with it, so that knocks the wind chill down. And Monday, the cooler air will hit. No, you know what? 13 of the next 14 days will be below normal.
Yikes.
But, you know, one thing to keep in mind, we had a wonderful two-week run of milder weather. Now we're in the two-week run of colder weather. I'll bet you. We'll find another mild spell comes after
Do you,
this.
Is that an informed guess, or is that just a guess?
I think it's. I've always kind of had the sense that's the pattern we're developing for the winter. So we'll see now if it works out. The only thing is, the warm spells from here on out are not quite as warm. Each one gets a little cooler.
Don't bring that up right now in front of my new gloves. They're very offended by this. By the way, wearing these gloves indoors makes me look like I've got carpal tunnel syndrome. Right?
Are you wearing them inside?
I'm wearing them inside right now. And it looks like, and it's like, oh, did you hurt your arm? Is it your wrist? What happened?
Are you wearing them as a fashion statement?
I'm wearing them now because I want to prove that I can use them tactily while I'm working.
Oh, well, that's a good idea.
Because now I'm going to write them off while I still can.
Right.
I think that's the question, though. The question is, are you going to be warm? But, well, that's all right. We can try that second experiment later.
That's right.
Yeah, Hannah. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
All right, Tom, thank you very much.
Well,
appreciate
this has
it.
Been fascinating, guys. Yeah. It makes me realize I better check my glove drawer and make sure that I haven't lost one of them, because that's easy to do.
Yes.
I feel bad for you.
It was crazy. I mean, it was, and it was
disturbing.
And it happened for no good reason.
I know. Well, you've got a set of gloves. That's good.
Right. Now, and I bought three sets of gloves, and I bought two hats.
Wow.
And a wraparound deal, you know, those 180s that just go on your ears. I've seen Tom wear those.
Yeah. Well, now, Mother Nature, bring it on. Rose ready. You know, we can really get down to some serious winter weather.
Unless.
I know
you'll
love that.
Unless you want, unless winter wants to take my fingertips.
Oh, I hope not.
Which it could.
Rose strong.
I hope not.
Thank you, Tom.
Mad at winter if they did that to you.
That's nice of you, Tom. Thank you for your support. I really appreciate
all right.
it. All right, here is we'll
Bye,
see Tom tonight
see
on
guys.
The 5, the 6,
Happy
the 9,
Wednesday.
The 10 coming up on the WGN TV news. Here's Violetta with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. In an amazing profile in Courage.
Yes.
Chuck Schumer has just announced that he thinks that Al Franken should step aside as a senator in Minnesota exactly 2 hours after Al Franken already announced he's stepping aside.
Yeah, way to get out there on that.
Oh, God. This is from the file folder that says, I hate them all, is that story. It is like, you know, as much as angry as I get at the White House and as I do at Republicans who go along with some of the insanity here, the Democrats are hopeless, absolutely hopeless on a national level. I mean, they're just, I don't even understand why don't they just close, why don't they rebrand? That's what I would do.
I think they do and need to, and the Republican Party is in the process of doing that, you could say.
Yes, they are rebranding. They're going kind of in a different direction.
We're going in a different direction over here.
We decided to go in a different. We're going to go with that whole family values thing. We just figured it's time to make a change there. So we're going with the let's feel up our family values. Let's go with that.
As long as you can get an R in front of your name, then we don't care about it.
Right. As long as you can do whatever you want. As long as you're going to vote for the tax cut and whatever else the president decides he wants to do. And I like today in his speech, the president in announcing that the United States is going to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, which the United States already has recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. It's just about moving the embassy to Jerusalem. That's the one thing. In 1995, the Congress passed legislation that recognized the capital. Now, you got to remember what was happening back in 1995. This is right after the 1994 swing elections, and Bill Clinton, literally, they handed him his own keister on a platter, Republicans did, and Newt Gingrich, and you know, there was the Republican Revolution of 1994. And so a bunch of things got done, very similar to what happened in 2016. The populists, I wouldn't even say the Republicans, but there's this populist movement. So all these things that people have in terms of conservative populism, people have been talking about. And even if they're little kind of hothouse issues that the rest of the nation doesn't care about, they're all getting taken care of here because the president figures he has a mandate. He doesn't know exactly how long he's got to pull this off or how long he's going to be interested in doing this job. So he might as well just get it all done. You do have to give him credit for this. He is doing what he said he was going to do. Now, most people didn't think They just thought, hey, he's saying he wants to do this, so he'll get elected like all politicians do. He won't actually do them, so I'm going to vote for him anyway. Like, moderate Republicans are like, well, I'll vote for him anyway, because he's not really going to do those things. And yet he's doing them.
Go figure, a politician who does what he says. I suppose you got to give him credit for that. However, the reaction to this, I think, is meaningful to see that, you know, the world is not necessarily on the side of the U.S. with all of this. Russia, China, you've got many of our allies in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, who say that this is only going to further complicate things and push us further away from peace in the region.
They were working on a very, and it was Jared Kushner leading the way here. I'm going to let that sink in for a second. Jared Kushner was put in charge of Middle East peace,
yep,
son-in-law.
I heard that.
But it was interesting because the son-in-law thing, when they went and did that Middle East swing trip a couple of months ago, the fascinating piece of that was that the using of his son-in-law was a very Middle Eastern thing to do. It's, you know, these are family dynasties in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia,
mm-hmm,
and in many of the other political places that the other, you know, the other political regions that they had to get into. And so families are considered, you know, above politics. And therefore, by using it, that seemed like it was a familiar way of doing business to many of the leaders he was meeting with. Oh, your son-in-law's doing it, of course. You know, in the United States, we don't look at it like that. We look at, you know, it's a democratic process, and right, we should be electing people, you know, and that those people shouldn't be there. We're not big on the concept of nepotism unless it benefits, again, your R or D-ness, right? Mm-hmm. You get a Republican or Democrat, and then, you know, whether it's the Kennedys or the Bushes or whatever, you've seen this kind of family sort of thing develop. Or Clinton's, another, you know, great example of it. Maybe one day the Trumps. We'll just have to see how this works out.
See.
But, I mean, that's the kind of thing that goes on. We decry it, but yet we engage in it, too. Anyway, you got Jared Kushner over there trying to cut some sort of a deal, right? All right, so here he is. He shows up. He lands with the Saudis, and he's trying to work out a deal with the Saudis and the Israelis because they got one thing in common. They both hate the Iranians. So that's the most important thing. So, and again, and, you know, sort of the way that things are in 2017, it's more important that it's more important that your enemies fail than anything else, right? Your own success is secondary only to your enemies failing. So the point is that if you can get two people to agree, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So the only thing way that the Saudis, who've been, you know, basically have supported the entire madrasa library, what does that mean? The madrasas are these schools, these little religious schools that pop up in villages and other small communities throughout the Muslim world, the Western Muslim world, starting in Saudi Arabia and moving their way all the way to from the Mediterranean, essentially, to the center Urals, not urinals, through Afghanistan and all the rest of that, through the stands. These are places where, you know, in little villages where they teach them, whether it's Sharia law or versions of the text that are not exactly what every Muslim in the world subscribes to.
Mm-hmm.
And some of this is about, they get coloring books, literally. They have coloring books. The kids get coloring books in which it depicts Jews killing their family members and drinking their blood. And these are printed and distributed in Saudi Arabia. And how Jerusalem is their capital. It's Mecca and then Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Right? The Al-Aqsa Mosque, which, by the way, a little bit of trouble the president had pronouncing that. We're going to get to the president's pronunciation problems in just a second. But the point is that they've been so for Jared to at least get the Saudis and the Israelis in the same room, that was a big, big deal, right? To come together at least on trying to stop Iran, because they're a different version of Islam than the Saudis are. They're not Wahhabis. They're Shia, not Sunni. And so it's a different deal. And it's a complicated thing. I know a lot of this is new to the president, but it still was a complicated thing. And there was Jared. He was trying to work it out. And now what the president did by doing this, because he wants to pay off a campaign promise and shore up his base, especially right in advance of the Alabama general election. It is a big, big issue. The moving of the embassy to Jerusalem. It's a big issue for Christian conservatives. Mm-hmm. Why? I'm not 110% sure, but it does have something to do with the fact that the Christian antiquities in Jerusalem need to be saved and all of that. And I get it, but I'm not 100% sure why it has become such an important factor for them. But it is. And it's one thing that people in the Jewish community and the Christian community come together on, you know, is saving Israel, make sure Israel is safe, because the one thing, even though the Jews and the Christians kind of don't like each other, the one thing they agree on, again, going back to this, is they don't like the Muslims.
There you go.
So there you have it.
So what impact will this have? That's really the question. Will it just be simply over time, because it's going maybe 7 years before the embassy actually appears in Jerusalem? It's not going to happen tomorrow. And does this create a setback for peace talks? Well, it doesn't seem like we're moving forward to in big with great strides for peace right now. So what does it do?
To me, the thing that is so crazy here is we have tried in post-war America, since 1945, we have tried to actually learn from the mistakes of ethnic hatred and the creating of envy based on people's ethnicity or their race or whatever it happens to be, and that for political gain, the peddling of race envy, of they're getting something you're not getting, or they cheated you, they're out to get you because of what God they pray to, or what they look like, or what their blood lineage is. I mean, go back to the Nazis, their playbook, and we have been trying to defuse that in the United States and other places around the world since 1945. And now all of a sudden in 2017, it's back on. It's sort of like, no, we're going to address it because people really believe that. So we're going to address it and maybe we'll get a little bit of political high ground here. And it's disgusting and it's wrong. It has to be addressed rhetorically. It's as simple as a rhetorical change by the president and the White House and Steve Bannon and all the rest of them who are just trying to get you all hot and bothered about something that doesn't really affect you. And that's but what it does affect is the peace negotiations, and it affects, and the rest of the world is like, well, we've been working on this. Now, the president does get to say, and he's right about this, we tried everything else. Let's try this, and maybe it moves the ball. We'll just have to see. We'll just have to see. All right, but that's not the biggest story that came out of it. We'll get to the biggest story that came out of it coming up in just a few minutes. But first, during the top 5 of 5, and then a discussion. But first, Violetta. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
We never got to the story about the president's speech.
Oh, it's funny. You know, you should mention that.
Yeah.
Because it might be coming up.
Oh, in the top 5 at 5.
Sneaky,
mm-hmm.
Sneaky.
Yeah. That was some way of promoting that. I'm not 100% sure how.
I thought we were trying to do it separately. Okay.
We might do it separately at 5:40.
In his defense, it could just be a bad day for talking.
Jenny can attest to that.
Maybe a bug flew in his mouth.
I do see what just happened there. All right, listen. This is a very important part of the day.
It is the most important.
And we're going to get right to it because there's a lot to get to. So I introduce you to...
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5. Let's go. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, it is now time to... Oh, I'm just going to try and... I'm going to do this without commentary. How about that?
What? The top 5 at 5?
I'm kidding.
Number 5.
Steve Bannon went on a tear last night about Mitt Romney.
Boy, did he.
And the Romney family while campaigning in Alabama for Roy Moore. He said that Moore in the Senate would be a stain. Actually, Romney said that Moore in the Senate would be a stain on the GOP and on the nation.
Right. Kind of party over integrity was his point.
And so basically Steve Bannon was like, I got your stain right here, pal.
The only reason I'm going there, Mitt, because you started it. Mitt, you had to go there. And by the way, Mitt, while we're on the subject of Vietnam and honor and integrity, you avoided service, brother, right? You served. Okay, Mitt, here's how it is, brother. Now the college deferments, you know, that's you know, we can debate that, but you hid behind your religion. You went to France to be a missionary while guys were dying in rice paddies in Vietnam. Do not talk to me about honor and integrity.
Whoa, he was hot.
Okay. Hot for just
warm.
To whip people up without even the beginning of the notion of how that how it plays in perspective to the president. Because I think he assumes that the audience he's talking to
doesn't remember
or writing to in Breitbart or whatever is going to be gullible enough to just buy anything he says.
Right. Well, there is definitely a parallel between Mitt Romney situation during military service opportunities and the president's avoidance of him with his, was it shin splints, leg problems?
I think it was a hangnail.
Hold on. I'll think of it. Hold on. What was it? We couldn't remember. He couldn't remember exactly what the issue was.
Bunions?
He couldn't remember which foot it was on. No, he had bone spurs. And then they said, which foot did you have bone spurs on? I don't remember.
Don't want to nail that
down. Bone spurs. I don't even call. They're fine, though, now. They're fine. And then, of course, he joked about, you know, dodging STDs during, instead of bullets, during Vietnam and stuff like that. I don't know. It's, anyway, there's more. Here's more.
Oh, good.
And now I'm going to get personal. You ran for commander-in-chief. You had 5 sons, not one day of service in Afghanistan and Iraq. We have 7,000 dead and 52,000 casualties. And where were the Romneys during those wars? You want to talk about honor and integrity, brother? Bring it. Bring it down here to Alabama. You have the guts to get on the stage. You have the guts to get on the stage of a man that served in Vietnam, and you expect us to believe honor and integrity? Judge Roy Moore has more honor and integrity in that pinky finger than your entire family has and his whole DNA.
Utah governor is calling him a bigot because he had to bring the whole Mormon thing in. And
yeah.
This is not over yet.
Yeah. I mean, he's going right into his own base. It's almost as if Bannon wants to just get in and divide the Republican Party along all of its fissure lines. You know, it's a coalition of a lot of different self-interests, and the Republican Party has become. And he's basically saying that it's really only about one thing, and that's Donald Trump. So whether you thought it was about religion, or you thought it was about religious freedom, or you thought it was about family values, or whatever, you know, wherever you got on the Republican bus. Mm-hmm. That bus is just it's going to a different destination now. And you just better be along for the ride. By the way, Bannon did serve in the United States Navy in the 70s and 80s. And he served as a surface warfare officer in the Pacific Fleet, including on the destroyer, the USS Foster. They were deployed in 1980 to the Persian Gulf during the attempted Iranian invasion to free the. He credits the failed mission by Jimmy Carter to get the hostages out of Iran by use of force as the reason that he became a very staunch conservative and activist for the military. All right. Okay. He was, upon his departure, though, after 7 years, he had he'd gone 3 ranks in 7 years. He was a Navy officer, so he started as Lieutenant JG to full lieutenant. All right. Let us. Is there one more? There's one more? Oh.
Okay. Do we have to?
Yeah, do we have to? Yeah, okay, we do.
Okay. All right. He says yes.
And you know why he's on Judge Moore. He's still bitter about Donald Trump. Embrace it, Mitt. He is president of the United States and commander-in-chief of the armed forces, something you so miserably failed at.
I swear to God, I thought he was going to say suck it instead of something. So
you didn't know where he was going to go.
God. Oh, man. I mean, really, I mean, everybody likes to invoke Reagan at moments like this. So I'm going to do it.
Go for it.
I don't think that this is what Ronald Reagan envisioned. Mm-hmm. I really don't.
No.
My guess is Ronald Reagan wouldn't have been a gigantic Donald Trump fan in the way at least in tone, maybe some of the policy.
Sure.
For sure. Some of the policy. But I don't think this helps the United States to have a president that the whole world thinks is a hump. I just think that's not so good. All right. What about Obama? I know. I heard it. I know. Okay. I got it. All right. Checking in at
number four.
And now the president himself made remarks today on the Jerusalem designation. Mm-hmm. That even the United States technically by law is recognizing since 1995 recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. It does not have an embassy there. As a matter of fact, no nation has an embassy in Jerusalem that is an embassy from their country to Israel. Right? They're all in Tel Aviv. Mm-hmm. No major nation has it.
It may change now, potentially. They're saying that's one of the things that could happen.
Even the Russians are against this. Russians
also against it. Some of our allies in the Middle East.
Of course, the Russians are not. Israel was formed in large part because Jews after World War II were afraid to go to Russia. So there was that. I mean, there's some reality there, too. Mm-hmm. The history of all this is very complicated and long.
Yeah.
As the president has just found out.
Yes. But then there was this moment that everybody is talking about here. Now, whether you agree or disagree, because I've actually heard Democrats come out and say that this is a good move. I've heard a lot of Republicans, almost every Republican has come out to say that this is a good move.
Some of the Democrats came forward today, though, like Feinstein, Senator Feinstein said that this is not this is only going to create chaos and more. And lessen the chances of there being some sort of a peace agreement. Although she was on board with the 1995 decision back then.
It's purely for domestic consumption what he's done here. I don't think that this helps his son-in-law try to broker the peace that he's been assigned to broker.
Although Politico has an article about how Kushner absolutely wanted this. He was forcefully backing this.
Uh-huh.
This.
What else are they going to say?
Well, it was reported in a way that it was him that he wanted to hear Jerusalem is Israel's capital. It said by the president of the United States.
That's what he personally wanted to hear.
As the person leading the peace efforts,
is that leading of the peace efforts?
I don't know if you can have it both ways by saying now let's bring the other side to the table after this sort of announcement, but that he was very much this was his vision.
Okay, and maybe that works. I'm just glad I haven't been assigned to it. But the weird thing that happened here was what had happened at the very mm-hmm. end, and this is creating
yes,
quite a controversy.
Very much so.
So today, let us rededicate ourselves to a path of mutual understanding and respect. Let us rethink old assumptions and open our hearts and minds to possible and possibilities. And finally, I ask the leaders of the region, political and religious, Israeli and Palestinian, Jewish and Christian and Muslim, to join us in the noble quest for lasting peace. Thank you. God bless you. God bless Israel. God bless the Palestinians. And God bless the United States.
Yeah. And I think so many people independently thought that they heard something wrong. There was something wrong with the feed or your cable went out.
It sounds very wrong.
Well, you hear
but you weren't sure you heard it, you know, the way it was originally said or if it was potentially, I don't know,
on the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. This is very important. We gave you the run up to the blowing of the word states, because you hear him already start to get very dry there.
Mm-hmm, you
hear him start to get
breathing.
They're saying
his
dry mouth. The White House has had to respond to this because people are saying he's got dentures. He's got dentures.
Well, no, the White House has said, "Hey, they've been asked, is there a larger health concern that we should be aware of?" And they're like, "No." They're pushing back strong on that. No. They're just dry mouth. No big deal. I know where you're going with that. And no story.
But you know what?
He's refusing to go to Walter Reed and release his medical records, as every president has done since Roosevelt.
And leading up to that,
Truman, because Roosevelt didn't do it, and look what happened.
See?
He was faking like he wasn't in a wheelchair, and then he just dropped dead.
Leading up to that, that wasn't the only word. He said several words that seemed odd. The whole speech, I mean, I noticed it right away. Mm-hmm. And then that last word was just crazy.
And then
right.
You also noticed that sniffle that he had during the campaign,
which you wonder,
is that his way of covering up for his
I think he's got one nostril that works.
Oh,
I do.
I hope at least one.
We need Walter Reed to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah, but he's not going to do it.
I know.
He's just not going to do it.
The dentist hypothesis, did you see that one floating around? The different news organizations have asked dentists what they thought, and they said it was a plate, like a what's it called, like a denture plate was loose, and that would cause you to breathe through your nose in this way and
keep your teeth in your mouth.
You're trying to hang on.
I don't think he's got dentures. He'd have the implants.
You would think.
Yeah.
A man of his means could afford that.
There.
United States.
does sound like Grandpa, though, doesn't it? Does sound like Grandpa when you're wheeling him around the nursing home? Would you like to go to the day room? They're playing cards. You want to go play? I think they're still playing. Are they playing bridge? Okay. Okay, Grandpa.
United States.
Yeah, that's where we are. All right, here we go. Now, here's the issue, though.
Mm-hmm. What's the issue, Roman?
What happens when you slow it down? We'll find out after. A little bit of... We've a special Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis' investigation into this. We've got medical experts. That would be me because I'm a hypochondriac.
Uh-huh.
And others will weigh in on this. And then we'll slow... We have all of the forensics that we have available to us to look into this.
Wow, that's going to be exciting.
But first, we've got Violetta with the WGN Tour of Triple Spots.
Then there's this, Play Ball, Celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com and check it out today.
All right, here we go. Top 5 continues, checking in at
number 3.
And coming up after Judy's news, we will do the full forensics investigation into what's being called now Denturegate. The President of the United States.
Or maybe Dry Mouth Gate.
It could be Dry Mouth
Gate. The White House.
Yeah. Is there a technical name for dry mouth? Can we come up with that?
Try to figure that out.
Sure. Mouth is dry as?
Cotton mouth.
All right, here's number 3. Colin Kaepernick is presented with Sports
Illustrated. Xerostomia.
Xerostomia, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
Keep that one back in your back pocket.
What is xerostomia, Alex? Back to Colin Kaepernick. He was given the Sports Illustrated Muhammad Ali Legacy Award last night, celebrating sports stars that have impacted the world. Beyonce was the presenter, and it was a surprise.
Oh.
Well, Jay-Z was on stage here in Chicago, by the way. A little something just to think about.
You're starting rumors over there.
That's what I'm just saying. She thanked the former football player for his personal sacrifice, and then Kaepernick said this.
I accept this award knowing that the legacy of Muhammad Ali is that of a champion of the people and one who was affectionately known as the people's champ. I accept this award not for myself, but on behalf of the people, because if it were not for my love for the people, I would not have protested. And if it was not for the support from the people, I would not be on this stage today. With or without the NFL's platform, I will continue to work for the people. Because my platform is the people.
Did he say people enough in that? Was people paying for that? Was People Magazine paying every time they got a mention?
Classic subliminal message.
Come on, people.
Right. People. That's right, you people. I don't know. It's interesting because that was last night. And then today, Time Magazine announced its Person of the Year. And it's the basically the whistleblower, right? What do they call it?
The women who came out of silence.
The silence
breakers.
Silence breakers. So thank you. It took Kevin to get that right.
Come Thanks, on. Kevin. He's very
come
you
on,
know,
people.
He's a progressive kind of guy.
He's trying to help the people.
People.
Now, who
people,
do you need?
Thank you.
Who do you need to help people with?
Need to help. Wait, what?
People.
People, yeah.
You need people.
Oh, that's right. You get to rally the troops, get people, the people together. Yeah.
People helping people. Yeah.
But the big scandal there was that Rose McGowan was not pictured on the cover where they showed a number of women as accepting the Person of the Year award, including the woman who started the Me Too movement 10 years ago. It's Taylor Swift, because of her dealings with the radio DJ guy, you know, the cheesy, razy radio
DJ. I'm telling you something. I never touched a keister. I might have brushed against her skirt, though.
What time did you allegedly grab her keister?
Thank you for being in my reverb. I did it around 7:20.
Allegedly.
Yeah, the court found that it wasn't alleged, that it actually totally happened.
That's when you definitely did it.
I did not definitely. I still stand by the fact I didn't do it at 7:20. I did it at 7:40 and 4:20 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Right after this. Coming up, stay tuned.
So a lot of people talking about there were those left out of the cover and not happy with it.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Back to right. Back to that.
Back
All
to
right.
that.
Yeah. All right. Can I? Do you mind if I move on?
Sure. Let's
All
go.
Right. Checking in at
number two.
On The Late Show, Stephen Colbert joked about Russia being banned from the Olympics.
Not only is Russia banned, but the country's government officials are forbidden to attend. Its flag will not be displayed at the opening ceremony, and its anthem will not sound. Also, for the duration of the games, any Russian dressing served in Olympic Village will be referred to as cheater sauce.
Isn't that funny? I mean, I guess they can still compete, the Russian athletes, but they would be identified as Olympic athlete from Russia.
Yeah, neutrals essentially is what they're kind of describing them as.
But then if they win,
their flag won't be presented, the anthem won't be played.
They're an athlete.
They're on
people.
Their own. Yeah.
How are they going to do the medal counts? You know how
they should.
Do
we
US?
Should come up with our own anthem for them.
They could
awesome.
Be a new group called the Neutrals.
Yeah,
Switzerland.
If Russia, if any of those athletes do win, though, Anna, to answer your question, Russia will not be. They won't get a tally for that or anything.
They don't.
No.
Hmm.
But they still get their medal.
Yeah, the individual athlete.
Yeah, they're neutral.
But people are going to know what it all adds up to. Well, I mean, this is just sort of a paper shuffle.
Yeah, exactly.
What will the neutral flag look like? Do we know?
Just neutral. A white flag.
We should come up with a flag and an anthem.
A flag and an anthem. We should definitely give them an anthem. It wasn't me, maybe.
Some big dope. Kelly. Some dope right. with a big me? Sign across, like an right. You know, X across it or something.
The Rocky IV soundtrack.
All right.
Those are all good ideas.
I got to get to this because we're thank you. It's very generous of you. Here we go.
Number one.
CNN knows he's ratings gold, so they had LeVar Ball back to take on Chris Cuomo in round two.
Oh, gosh.
You got to pay the price when you make a mistake
in life.
Yeah,
we already paid the price. We already paid the price. We paid our price. You pay your price. UCLA is not going to bring my boy down. And guess what? They're not going to go and say UCLA made Jello's future. No. We're going to go a different route. You shouldn't hang them on the cross for this long for that.
When you
it's
talk to you, when you
it's not only embarrassing, it's okay, a kid that wants to play basketball all their life, and
right.
you take that away from them, that's worse than jail. Come on, man.
I don't think so. I'm a no.
Chinese jail?
Chinese jail, worse.
I've seen Locked Up Abroad.
Yeah, sounds so good. And I didn't realize it's Jell-O. So that's like a whole thing. That's a good marketing deal.
Right. Instead of LeAngelo.
It's like Zoe and Jell-O. The right. Zoes are out. Or the Zos, as he
Zoe,
calls them.
Zoe, Mello, Jell-O.
Zoe, Mello, and Jell-O. Yeah.
Meanwhile, his teammates at UCLA serving out their suspensions.
What is the suspension? How long?
All they were saying
Seven,
right now
right?
is indefinite. They
oh.
haven't given a
See,
number.
That's a problem.
So that's a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, that's... Wow. Okay. LeVar Ball also gave President Trump three pairs of his red, white, and blue... Are they Big Baller shoes? What's the name? Baller? What's the line?
Yeah, Big Baller brand.
Big Baller brand. To show that we're patriotic.
We're giving those away coming up at 7:22. Stay tuned for Big Baller. You can rip me off for Big Ballers.
Gee, that sounds awful.
All right.
Taylor Swift won't be calling in.
Please don't encourage.
Yeah, you know what? It's too soon on the Me Too thing. Because next thing you know, I'm going to get flagged for saying something about Taylor Swift.
Don't take the bait.
Yeah, I'm not going to take the bait. I didn't take the bait.
You want to?
I do want to.
Maybe I'll do it tomorrow at 4:20.
All right, are you done? I'm done. I got to get out of this thing.
Yes.
The top five at five.
More Taylor Swift coming up at 6:15.
I don't think Taylor talks to you anymore, cheesy radio guy. She doesn't like you.
I was trying to get something off the back of her skirt.
You're just being respectful.
She misunderstood my intentions.
She's speaking out about her sexist, the trial for the first time because she's on the cover of Time magazine as one of the women who are the Silence Breakers Person of the Year.
You have to give her credit for going all the way to court with that one.
Yeah.
I
mean, really, which was, you know, a photo op and, I mean, not as... Definitely not as serious as some of the other allegations.
She was definitely trying to make a point there.
And she made it with a big impact.
I agree.
I still am trying to figure... Now, it was that he cupped her buttocks, right? Wasn't that what he did during the photo? That's what she says he did, and that's what he was found liable for?
Yes.
Yeah.
Her bare buttocks.
She said, he did not touch my rib. He did not touch my hand. He grabbed my bare...
A.
That's right.
Which means he had probably, right, she had a skirt on, so he put his hand up her skirt.
She said, she's giving her first interview, Time magazine, and she's talking about, we're posing for this photo, he stuck his hand up my dress and grabbed onto my cheek. I squirmed and lurched sideways to get away from him, but he would not let go. So it sounds pretty purposeful there. There is no room for...
For ambiguity.
There's always room for ambiguity. Ambiguity after Friday.
He can't use the Bush defense.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
George Bush.
President
H.W.
Bush.
Yes, thank you.
Who was in a wheelchair and he was reaching up and he couldn't get past the buttocks.
Mm-hmm. So he said,
to get to the small, the back. I'm now just in, I handcuff myself before all photos that we take in the studio.
And handcuff
I handcuffed myself.
Straight that doesn't look right either.
In the
what are you trying
hey,
to
baby,
say?
Can I take a photo with you?
No, I just handcuffed myself behind me, like I'm being perp walked, behind my back, so that there's not. I can only touch my own butt.
Okay,
I should just grab my own butt.
Threatening. Just be normal. Just be normal.
I don't want to do. I just don't want to even be misunderstood. I just put my hands behind my back now.
One accidental slip in your career.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I'm very sensitive.
It's not true. You know what? It's not true.
But guys think it is.
I don't think so. I've told you this before. Guys who do it know that they're doing it.
And the women know when it's done to them.
And you're always surprised, Ro, because I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and say that you're not one of those guys. So you're like, well, I don't get it because you don't do it. So you're right. You don't get it. But the guys who do it, they get it.
I think it is the Al Franken thing that is making the most amount of sense here to me, because I think that's the best example of this, of how you're describing this. Because that's the one thing about Al Franken is that he's like, I was just grabbing, I'm sorry, it was inappropriate if I was just having fun and, tweaking somebody on the butt. That's his argument, I don't know who does that. I don't know. I don't get. I mean, I would
10-year-old boys maybe.
Well, I would be. I would find that to be goofy if I did it to somebody. Although I have been grabbed a number of times over the years taking pictures with people, generally by other guys thought were trying to be funny when they were doing it. But I'm not quite so sure because it's the one guy who does it over and over and over again.
Yeah. You should probably be a little bit concerned about that.
Yeah,
and most of those guys are. I was going to say a bar name. But
well, they're a little older, too. And they're a little... But he's one of those guys a little older and might have had a few drinks. So it's like,
It's creepy old guys or it's like young, like, tools, You even work out, bro, and they go to the clubs and do all that stuff.
Or you lift?
Total predators.
You lift, bro?
Yeah, so that's
not sure which category.
And you could come live with me someday.
No, that's okay. Anyway, so the point. Okay, so
well,
I mean,
Al Franken had a recent one today that came up right before many Democratic members of Congress all came together to say, "Hey, dude, step aside." Another woman came forward. This is the sixth one who said an unwanted sexual advance happened, forcibly trying to kiss her when she visited a radio station, and. He told her it's my right as an entertainer after she said, well, why did you just stick your tongue down my throat? And that's what he said. So this isn't a gray area. It's not like what's happening with him is that gray.
Al Franken's tongue coming up at 8:10.
Jeez, yuck.
God. Goodbye, Al Franken. But I get it because, you know, that picture of, you know, on the airplane.
Yeah.
Where he's doing the thing with the, you know. Where it's the hands?
Looking like he's trying to grab her breasts.
Yeah.
And smiling in kind of a mocking way at the camera.
I mean,
that is a
tool move, if you want to use the word tool here. That's a good use of it.
And it's like something a schoolboy would do. It's so ridiculous.
How old are
like,
you? He's 50s at the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it reminds me of. But you know what, though? I hate to say it, but I almost have to give Al Franken credit if he indeed does resign tomorrow. Because at least he admitted it immediately, he apologized, and now he's resigning.
Yeah, sort of a minute, but yeah, it's close enough.
Well,
better than most.
Said it.
Hey, by the way, speaking of this, John Conyers, did you see this?
This is the best story
We need him
in D.C.
Again, another example of I hate them all.
I know.
So John Conyers, you know, he does the full Chicago thing. It's like, well, I'm going to have to leave the... What am I in? He's retiring, even though he's been accused of everything
there's
by
no
everybody.
Use of the word resignation or resign.
So he's retiring, not because he did anything wrong, but because he's in failing health and he wants his son to replace him.
First
in the Congress, right?
You don't get to pick, dude.
Well, right.
We've seen it in Chicago, haven't we?
But it's wrong.
Right, it's wrong. I mean, that's what we were all over Todd Stroger about it last week when we had him on before he quit.
Yeah.
But then what had happened was John Conyers' son, the one that would replace him in Congress, was arrested earlier this year for domestic battery.
On his girlfriend.
And it was
felony domestic battery.
Using a knife.
Accused of stabbing her. But the charges were dropped.
Well, the charges were drop.
I mean, it's like, are we done with this? Can the American people, and I'm going to talk about it in every district too, can you start to pay a little bit of attention to all of the issues and all of the personalities here who are running? And maybe we might be able to solve this problem because it's really kind of on us.
Okay.
It's kind of on us.
Even better, then he went on to say that Conyers the Third. Yeah, first I heard about it, running for office. My dad announced it, so I don't know. I haven't thought about it yet.
No, right. He wasn't even asked.
I think my boy would be perfect as your new Kong.
Yeah, you think about it and get back to us, okay, the voters, and let us know if you're going to go to Congress.
Men Congress.
get out. I want you all out. I want to fire them all.
I'm trying to leave. He's just very slow.
I'm leaving the door now.
Oh, gee.
It's time to go.
Go, we're ready.
You don't want to go to that retirement party.
All right. I still haven't gotten to Denture Gate. We only have half an hour left. I don't know how I'm going to do this. We got Lauren Stryker with us coming up. She wants to talk about what sex toys to give for Christmas. I don't know. It's something, I swear to God.
Not at the office party, though.
Very timely.
Yeah. Not at the office party. Right.
The do's and don'ts of giving sex toys.
Yes.
Well, I got to make a return then. Sorry, guys.
Jeez.
Ro would really like
to. You have
to
return
it.
All seven of them or just the one?
Just for the show exchange. So what if you were going home lucky that night? I'm telling you, but I guess not so much anymore.
Yeah, we really needed Dr. Stryker to join us, apparently. More instructional than we thought.
Rip us off for a whole vat of Uber Lube coming up at 4:20.
All right, here we go. Are you ready? Are you ready, Violetta?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, go ahead. Ro Con Show with Anna DeBlanzas right here on 720 WGN, what Judy just said. I think we know where we are.
We do.
If you're not sure where we are, that's where we are.
Enough.
Stare at your radio. It's right there, 720. That's us. All right, here we go. Lauren Stryker is here, and we love Lauren Stryker.
Yes,
she
we do.
Is a she's an OBGYN. She runs her own practice, her own. Basically, they gave her a whole wing over there at that Northwestern to make sure that you know, women's health is properly managed. Because it is, I mean, on a serious note here, it is. It's better than it was in terms of people having awareness of the kinds of things, but it's still there's still a ways to go.
There is a ways to go, but Northwestern is behind it. And mm-hmm. what you're talking about, of course, is the brand new Northwestern Medicine Center for Sexual Medicine and Menopause, the first of its kind, really. And we just opened a couple of months ago, and it has been phenomenal. Women have been so grateful that they actually do have someplace to go where they can really get some help for those hot flashes and sexual problems and all the other things that they really have been kind of left out there in the cold, so to speak, with no one to help them. So it's been really very exciting, and we've got all kinds of experts that are involved, and women are they're just coming in. sexmedmenopause.nm.org to request an appointment, but it's a very exciting new center.
It sounds like it. I bet there are a lot of women, a number of women who potentially were like thank God you're here, right? Because these kinds
of problems. I saw someone the other day, and I'm not exaggerating. I was her 12th opinion, and no one had been able to figure out what was wrong with her. And we had a combined clinic with a department of dermatology. She had a very specific issue, and we took one look and we said, of course we know what's wrong with you, and we're going to fix you. And it was just really quite gratifying. It was really very nice.
It's wonderful.
Now there's a play. Now you have to explain this to me, because I've looked at this. I'm like a when you say something funny to a dog and they tilt their head. You know, like what just happened?
I think you
there?
Get it, but you're not sure.
I'm not sure I do understand. I've read everything I can possibly read about this play. I'm not sure what I understand. It's a Timeline Theater company, and they're putting on a play called In the Next Room, or the Vibrator Play.
You got it. That's right.
What is this?
Isn't this fabulous?
Okay. I don't know. I'll be the judge.
First of all, this is not a new play. This is a play that has been performed other places. It is a very well-known play. Sarah Rule is the playwright, and she's a phenomenal playwright. And the topic is something that, of course, I think everyone knows about, because I write about it all the time and I talk about it all the time. But whenever I tell people about it, like you, they scratch their head and go, really? Huh? So this is the story. Back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, it was very common for a woman to be diagnosed with hysteria. And hysteria was kind of a wastebasket term for a lot of different illnesses. It could be depression. It could be anxiety. It could be that she just was kind of unconventional, or maybe she was tired. Whatever it was, they would call women hysterical. They were
behaving like a woman
was supposed
because
to
hysteria,
behave.
It, based on the Latin term.
Now, so men did not get that diagnosis, though.
They did
women.
On occasion, but it was primarily women. Yeah. And so the treatment.
Men could be hysterical?
They could. They could, but not. There wasn't very few. Very few. But anyway,
can men
so
be
the
bitchy?
Treatment.
Just a separate
of course
topic.
They can.
Who's asking?
So, all right. Wait. So we got to put it, this is good. So the treatment for hysteria was stimulating a woman to orgasm.
Oh.
Now, they would go to the doctor to do this, and the doctor would do this manually. But this took a long time, and this was exhausting. And so, you know, wherever there's a problem, you got to find the fix.
So Harvey Weinstein's great-grandfather was a doctor at the turn of the century?
The doctors evidently historically got no pleasure from this. This was just work.
Yeah.
And it was exhausting, and time is money. It took a lot of time. And then along came electricity. So this was all very exciting, because suddenly.
What were they doing before the electricity?
They were using their hands.
Do we want to know?
Oh, God.
With barehanded under the skirt. Ma'am, just lift your skirts. You got it. Okay. So they started using these electric vibrators to treat hysteria. Now picture this. The woman is coming week after week, and she's never quite cured because she's thinking she needs more treatment.
No.
So what this play is about a doctor who has embraced this new technology.
The Thin Lizzy, isn't that what it was called?
Yeah, and he's treating women in his home office.
Oh, God.
And he is newly married.
Come on.
And he has.
He can throw it out of the Senate for this.
It gets even better. It gets even better.
Yeah.
So his young bride, of course, is very curious about what's going on in the next room.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, she's not allowed in there because this is in the inner sanctum of the doctor's office.
Wow.
So she starts to explore, and I don't want to give anything away, but
uh-huh.
she finds her way on her own with a friend into
Spoiler
the next
alert.
Room.
Yeah.
Yeah. And finds all kinds of things about herself, her own relationship, her sexuality. The thing I love about this play, first of all, it is just great fun. It is such a good play. I mean, I go to a lot of theater and I'm mm-hmm. very picky. This is so well done. The acting is phenomenal. It is historically accurate. You know, I have a chapter in my book. Sex RX, Hormones Health, Your Best Sex Ever. And I do have a chapter talking about the history. And so I'm always skeptical when I go to see a play like this. It's like, oh, they're not going to get it right. Well, boy, did they get it right. But it is also hysterically funny.
I see what you did there.
It is very hysterical.
Did you see what she did there?
Did I slip that in there?
I did see what she did there, yeah.
So this Sunday. This
is not a show for all ages, though. I'm just
assuming. No, it is
not. Is it a show for all genders?
All genders, but not all ages.
Oh, guys are like, yeah, I'll go.
Guys are loving this.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Oh, come on. It's like, I want to go to a play. Oh, come on. Really?
No,
let me tell you what the play's about. Oh.
Ooh, exactly. Okay, I'll go to that one.
Where are we going
to
have cocktails first?
First, after. So after the play on Sunday, matinee on Sunday at 4:15, the play is followed by a panel discussion. And yes, I will be there with my antique vibrator. I'm going to bring it.
God.
I collect these things.
Oh, God.
And we're going to talk
about... That was a shoulder massager, wasn't it? Was that what it was supposed to be for?
Well, you must have seen me on WGN TV last week when I was doing holiday gifts. And I see this necklace I'm wearing here that looks like it's a necklace.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it was TV and breakfast and all that. So I said...
This is radio and dinner, but
right.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So that's why I'm going to tell you what it really is.
People in their cars on the way with their kids to the Hawks game.
On
TV, I said it was a neck massager. And then, of course, Terry Savage, who was on the segment with me, said, well, can you use it anyplace else?
She knew.
She knew. So I said, well, wherever it feels good. But so this is it's a great little travel vibrator because it does look like a necklace. And this is called Crave. And that's lovecrave.com if you want to get one for that special person in your life. Only $60.
Wait, you're wearing a necklace of it's a vibrator?
Vibrator, yeah. See, Anna, do you want to
check
it out?
I can see it from here.
Yeah, it's vibrating.
It looks almost like it's a pen, like a platinum pen hanging from your necklace chain.
Yeah, it's really pretty. And I walk through this in the TSA all the time, and no one ever stops. Now I've got it on pulse. It doesn't.
Ma'am, we're going to have to step over here.
No, but so we have, you know, all kinds of holiday gifts that...
Here, put it up against the mic for a second.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, that's what that is. Yeah.
I'm gonna change it more. And now it's going to... Oh!
It's a scene out of Private Parts.
Oh, now we've got a little pulse. I didn't know this mic is...
It's got several settings.
Yes, it does. And it comes in silver, gold,
and
rose gold. I can't. But anyway, but the thing that's so interesting is here we are talking about vibrators. And this play, you realize, vibrators were back in the, you know, late...
Medical use.
Medical use. And
for real reason.
But we have medical uses now, you know? And then I think people don't realize that. They think of it as just for fun, and it is fun. But there are a lot of women that, quite frankly, a vibrator is the only way they can have an orgasm. So when we talk about things like vibrators and lubricants and all of that, it's not just about, oh, this is going to enhance. It's not just about pleasure. It's also about possible, making things possible, making things work.
Probably not good at the office party, though, because we've seen kind of.
Yeah. Let's talk about the office party. At the U.S. Senate, probably not. I don't think they're going to be doing this.
At the Today Show, it was not exactly welcome.
No, that would be a bad thing. But at our office party, the Center for Sexual Medicine and Menopause,
Yeah, you can do it there. So, yeah, you can't do it at the Today Show office party, which is cool, which Lauer apparently was handling.
No, and in fact, okay, I've been on the Today Show many times.
So, what is your thought on all
of this? They're so strict about what I say, what I don't say. You know,
I wish I were.
There is a very big difference between a Harvey Weinstein who is using his power to do horrible, terrible things to women who are then just doing, you know, going along with this because they fear for their job, as opposed to an Al Franken, who is a comedian who did something that was in bad taste, no question. But this was a comedian who was not doing, you know, sexual abuse of women. This is not.
He's had his eighth victim step forward today, and some of them are saying it's unwanted advances, such as shoving his tongue down their throat and saying...
And that would be bad. And you know what? And I also think, and I do think we have to take this very, very seriously, and when there are... And I have not... Actually, I was busy today, so I didn't get all those victims.
He's resigning tomorrow
because
there are more victims coming forward.
Yeah, which is a shame because I really like him politically. He's a good guy. But I think also with all these celebrities, we also have to pay attention. What's going on in the storeroom of Walgreens with bosses?
Oh. There's no question about
you know,
that.
This is everywhere. And I'm not even going to tell you what happened to me as a resident and medical
student.
Well,
why don't you tell us what happened to you?
No, it's, you can't, you know, but at the time, even though I knew it was really, really inappropriate and I knew it was sexual abuse and I knew that it was just bad, my attitude was like, oh my God, what a jerk. And I would just keep on moving. And I'm not saying it was okay.
I just thought I could survive it. It's no big deal.
Well,
my
job wasn't dependent on it. That was the other thing too. It wasn't my job advancement. It wasn't like I had to do something sexually in order to keep my job or to get, you know, where I was going. It was just guys acting like incredible, incredible jerks. Like, okay, I'll give you one example.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the operating room and I said to the surgeon I was assisting, What would you like me to do?
Oh. Hold on one second. Actually, we can't say that on the radio.
Oh, I didn't say that. Yes. BJ.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
Let's take a quick break.
You asked. Well, you can't ask me stuff like that.
Well, I kind of figured that maybe you'd edit, but let us know what it was, but it's okay.
Okay,
it's all right.
All right.
Okay.
You can boot me out. Please.
Yes, we did. Yeah, it's, yeah.
Don't you want to know my favorite holiday gift?
No, I don't. Not right now. I do not.
I promise.
It's okay. The Timeline Theater Company amps up the free Sunday Scholars lineup with the Next Room or the Vibrator Play.
Only running one more week, so you got to go because you don't.
And what's the website for this if people want to go?
Oh, it don't
TimelineTheater.com. That's what it is.
Yes.
And 773-327-5252. Dr. Lauren Stryker, thank you very much.
Thanks, Dr.
We
Lauren.
We appreciate it. And that necklace is a good trick. I like
it
that.
Is, it is.
That's
it's
a
good,
little thing. Oh, look how it's pretty. Look how it is.
It is pretty.
It's quite useful.
It's very pretty.
All right. Here is Violetta with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. I'm picking up good vibrations. Oh, God. Did you have to? All right. I'm filling out so much paperwork right now.
I bet.
And I'm signing it Matt Lauer. That's how I'm getting away with all of it. All right. Coming up, you got your the Blackhawks are in town.
Are they?
Or at least they're on the radio.
No, they're on the radio. Because Andrea Bocelli is at the United Center.
He's playing actually goalie tonight because they're really...
times are rough.
It turns out it was
my
not...
My husband's going to that.
We did not to Andrea Bocelli or the Hawks in D.C.?
No. Going to the United Center and Andrea Bocelli.
Okay. Oh.
That's why all those fans are on the Eisenhower inbound right now.
And they're going to drive slow. I'm going to tell you that right now, the Bocelli fans.
Yeah, they're holding up
crowd,
traffic.
Yeah. That crowd is going to be, that's good. Because they're thought, they like the, you know, they like to sit and savor, right? Because that's what, if you go to that show, that's what you're doing.
You have to.
You're savoring.
So beautiful.
No mosh pits at those concerts.
I'm in the Bocelli mosh pit. Yeah, I go. I'm getting my Bocelli T-shirt. Do you wear? What do you do with a concert T-shirt? Where do you wear that?
You have to cut it up and
swag?
Change it.
They never look.
Make
good.
It a little cuter.
It's like nah. It's like nah.
Anyway, are we gonna play this game?
We already did. We played it off the air. We'll give you the results tomorrow.
Oh.
Because we got it. We're late here for the Hawks. We did everything. Everything got pushed back today. Because of the president having dentures or not. I don't know if he does or he doesn't. He's got dry mouth. He won't go to the doctor. We don't know. We'll pick that up tomorrow. A special Rokan show with Anna DeVolante's investigation into everything that
we're
happened.
We're on
it. Yeah. Well, someone has to be on it, and it might as well be us. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah,
you all agree?
Sure. Absolutely.
10-4. Right.
We'll figure it out. If anyone can, we can. Right?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure that's true either.
Quite honestly, after the last 3.5 hours, I'm not sure what's possible anymore.
Oh, yeah.
We got this.
In the meantime, I got to do some necklace shopping. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh. I'm glad that could be an inspiration for you.
I was scheduled to have lunch with the management tomorrow, and I really am not.
You should cancel.
Something came up.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure I should show up at that.
There's a new agenda I heard for your meeting tomorrow. I'm just
Godspeed.
Seeing the emails crossed.
Rose Strong, actually. Hang in there.
Good luck.
Thank you. I'm going to need it. Chicago Blackhawks hockey coming your way in 2 minutes.